Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We're going to be talking today about spiritual warfare. It's a great subject. Many people have written books and books about it, and many messages have been preached upon it, but it's always a pertinent subject. It's always a subject because everybody is touched by it. Everybody is involved in it. Everybody is in the battle one way or another, even though you may not be conscious of it. And so we'll take that up here in just a minute. I want to speak just a little bit about what is going on over in Africa. We have 25 children in the children's home, and we appreciate all the support for the children in the children's home. We thank the Lord for that. The children are out of school right now, and they will be going back to school in May. And so we thank the Lord for all the school fees and everything that is required to keep them in school. And we pray for the children. Some of them have special needs. Some of them have learning disabilities, and some of them have physical disabilities. So keep those children lifted up in your prayers. We also are very encouraged by the church, and we have a great thing happening, a great event happening this summer. We have a team coming from the USA, and it appears that it's going to be a rather large team, maybe 15 or 20 people, and so we are very thankful for that. We're going to conduct a men's encounter, women's encounter, encountering God meeting at the church. And the Africans have never seen anything quite like this before, and so it's going to be a breakthrough conference, and we're going to invite people from many churches in that area, and then the Americans will conduct the conference, and we'll support them with worship teams and preachers and all of that. So it's going to be a great conference. Keep that in your prayers. Keep this team lifted up for safety and for provision and for good health, everything that they need to conduct this conference and have a mighty conference. It's going to transform Makunda Village, not only Makunda Village, but Mumias and that whole region. Well, today we're going to be taking up spiritual warfare, and as I spoke before, you may not even know that you're in the battle, and when you say the word warfare, it brings up images of battle, and so that is the battle that we're in. We are in a battle. You are in a battle. When you are in the kingdom of God, you know for sure you're in a battle, because the moment you turn your life over to Jesus, the moment that you say yes to Him and say, "Yes, Jesus, I want to be a warrior in your kingdom. I want to be a soldier in your kingdom." And I'm reminded of a song we used to sing in Sunday school when I was a young man. It was "Onward, Christian Soldiers," marching on to war. And so even at that age, 5, 6, 7 years old, I knew that I was in a battle. I had no conscious awareness of it, and yet the words were spoken over me, the words were imparted into my spirit. And so, beloved, if you are a born-again believer, you are in a battle, and God is not going to let you out of the battle. He's going to speak to you in ways that will engage you. He's going to speak to you in ways that will continue to draw you into the battle. If you're in the battle and you're out there on the point of the spear, you're on the point of the arrow, you know that the enemy is after you. You know that the enemy is fighting against you. If you're a lukewarm Christian and you're sitting on the sidelines, God is urging you to get in the battle. God is urging you to take up your weapons and fight the battle, the good fight of faith. And beloved, if you're listening today and you've never committed your life to Jesus and you've never said, "Yes, I want to be in the battle, I want to serve you," if you've never done that, you can do that today before we finish. We'll give you a time to make that decision. But even if you are an unbeliever and you don't believe anything and you're just curious today to see what Gather the Outcast radio broadcast is about, if you are curious today and you've never committed to Jesus, you are in the battle. You're just working for the opposite side. Jesus said, you're either gathering with the kingdom or you're scattering. If you're one of those out there today that's scattering, trust me, the Lord wants you to get in the kingdom and He wants you to gather. The Lord wants you to say yes to Him. And if you're in that part of the battle and you're scattering, Beloved, you're not going to be blessed. You're not going to be receiving any blessings from the Lord. The Lord has shown me through my own personal experiences and the experiences of others what a disastrous path that is to be scattering for the kingdom. If you're fighting against the kingdom of God, beloved, you're going to be having a difficult time in the life. And if I could interview you today, you would probably tell me that you're having a difficult time in life. And so I want you to know, if you're tuned in today, it's no accident. You're not here by coincidence or by accident. God has a message for you today. God has a plan for you today. God has a destiny that He spoke over you even before you were born. He has that destiny, and it is still intact, and you cannot run from it. You can run from it, but eventually God is going to grab a hold of you, and He's going to get your attention, and He's going to put you on your knees, and eventually you're going to have to make a decision, yes or no, and at that point in time, you can get in the kingdom of God, and you can say, I'm gathering for the kingdom of God. Well, as we go back to Genesis, I was thinking about this message, praying about this message today, and the Lord said, go back and start at the beginning and show the people where this spiritual warfare started, where this battle with the enemy started. And the Lord had put Adam and eventually Eve. He took Eve from one of Adam's ribs. And so He said it was not good for Adam to be alone. It is not good for man to be alone. And so He brought Eve to Adam's side. And so they were in the garden, which was a place of supreme bliss. It was a place of no sin. It was a place where they had everything that they needed. And we can only imagine, we can only think the possibilities of a place like that, because we've never known truthfully a place like that in our life. But in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve were, the Lord spoke to them in Genesis 2:16. He spoke to Adam and He said, the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Well, I'm sure that Adam and eventually Eve, they didn't understand the consequences of what the Lord was saying to them when He said to them, you shall surely die. I'm sure they didn't understand the totality of that. We, in our finite minds, we as mortal human beings, and at that time they had immortality. Death was not a part of their life. Death was not a part of their existence. And they had immortality. They had everything they needed. There was no strife. There was no strain. There was no worry. There was no anxiety or anguish. And the Lord gave them very simple instructions. And He said, every tree in this garden is yours to freely eat. And there was trees that had fruit. There was trees that had all kinds of fruit. There was trees that had all kinds of things for them, for their blessing, for their benefit. But He said, there's one tree here that you can't eat of. And that one tree is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Well, He was not just speaking of physical death. He was speaking also of spiritual death, because in eating of this fruit, in taking from this fruit, they would come to know things that the devil had put into their mind. They would come to know things that had to do with the rebellion of the devil in heaven, the rebellion of Lucifer in heaven, and the knowledge that he had when he rebelled, the knowledge that was had to do with witchcraft, the knowledge that had to do with metallurgy and all kinds of deep knowledge of things of the evil one. And so when they ate of this apple that was taken from this tree, Not only did they then bring physical death upon himself, which didn't happen for hundreds of years later. Actually, Adam was very old when he died, and he lived to be 900 and some years old. But also, spiritual death came upon them, and it came upon all mankind through the error, through the sin of Adam and Eve. And the Bible says that Eve was deceived, but Adam was the one that sinned. And so because Adam was responsible for Eve, he was the covering for Eve, but also God had given Adam and charged Adam with the direction regarding this tree. Adam was the one then that God held accountable for the sin, and Eve was deceived by the evil one. Well, we can look in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, and this is a story about how the evil one came into the life of Adam and Eve and how the evil one deceived Eve. And it says here in 3:1, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, nor touch it, lest you die. And then the serpent said to the woman, You shall not die. You shall not surely die. Well, beloved, that is the cunning of the evil one. That is the cunning the devil came through, and he used one of the creatures that God had made. He used the serpent, who was able to come into the garden, and that serpent had been taken over by the devil, who had fallen from heaven. The devil had already rebelled at this point, and we'll take that up here in just a minute. The devil had rebelled because at one time, the devil was the shining one. He was one of the angels that ministered in heaven at the throne of God. He was one of the angels that led worship, and he was the shining one, Lucifer, and he was in heaven at the throne of God. And yet when he rebelled, he took a third of the angels with him. And this rebellion, then those third of the angels who were with God, these angels then make up the demonic horde we are in battle with on a daily basis. Some of those fallen angels then are in hell, they are bound in hell, but many of them are roaming free, and they are the demons that torment us, and they are the source of the spiritual battle. They are the source of the torment and the anguish and the temptation that we deal with in our life and on a regular daily basis, and they are the source of the spiritual battle that you are in, that I am in, these fallen angels that were once with Lucifer in heaven, and they rebelled against the authority of God. That they are the ones that we are in battle with every day of our life. Well, you notice that the devil comes to Eve and he says, You will surely not die, or you will not surely die. Well, the tactics of the enemy are the same today as they were thousands of years ago, 6,000 years or whatever time frame this takes place. The tactics of the enemy are the very same today as they were at that time in the Garden of Eden. The very same tactics. The devil hasn't invented anything new. He always comes and he questions and he challenges the Word of God. He questions and challenges the wisdom of God and God's boundaries for your life and for my life. He comes and he challenges that, and he makes you believe that God is withholding something from you. He makes you believe that God's admonition and God's warnings to you are not appropriate or are not necessary. He makes you believe that he has more wisdom than God, that he has something for you, that God is withholding, and that if there's something for you, if you could just have it, you would be happier, you would be more blessed, you would have greater power, greater fame, greater fortune, whatever it is the world has to give to you in a material and a way of fame and fortune, the devil will make you believe that these things are for you and good for you, and that what God has for you is actually curtailing your joy, curtailing your contentment, curtailing your fame or your fortune. And so this is the way the devil operates. It worked very well, and God was not surprised by all this. He knew that Adam and Eve had the propensity or the potential to fail. He knew that because he could see into the future, and also he created them with dust. Out of the dust they came, and back to the dust they will go, and the same for your body, the same for me. And so God was not shocked by all this. He had a plan of redemption to redeem us from the fall, to redeem us from the sin that we all engage in. And we all lie, we all cheat, we all steal, not to any great degree in some cases. Some of us are quote unquote pretty good people, but others of us have had great sin. But God has a plan of redemption, and he had it even before Adam and Eve fell. Well, God is not a liar. The devil, the serpent, came to Eve and he questioned and made Eve question, well, maybe God is tricking you. Maybe God is lying to you. Maybe God doesn't have your best interest at heart. Maybe there's something better than what God has for you. And it's the same tactic today as I spoke before. The devil is not very innovative as far as innovation, bringing up new things. He's just shrewd, he's cunning, but he uses the same old tactics that he's been using for all these thousands of years. And beloved, so this is the story in verse 6, Genesis 3, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit, and she ate. And she also gave to her husband, and he also ate. And so it was pleasant to the eyes, and it would look good for food, and it looked like it would make them wise. And I'm sure when they tasted of it, that taste was really good. They probably really rejoiced because it was a great flavored apple. And so this is the way that the devil came into Adam and Eve. And because of their fall, the Lord spoke some prophetic words over Adam and Eve. Because of their fall, God laid out then for them the pattern or the plan for all mankind. And he spoke over them what they could expect. And he spoke over us what we could expect, because the first prophetic words in the Bible then came as a result of the fall of Adam and Eve. And so down in verse 14, the Lord spoke to the serpent. He spoke to the devil first. He said, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life, and I will put enmity, or I will put division, between you and the woman, and between your seed, the seed of the devil, and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Well, that is the first mention of the Messiah. That is the first mention of Jesus Christ. It's veiled as such. It isn't spoken that this is about Jesus, but the seed of Eve, that seed, the Lord said, between your seed, devil, and her seed, between your seed, devil, and Jesus, he, Jesus, shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And so we can step on serpents, we can step on scorpions, we can crush their heads. Because of this prophecy, we have victory over the serpent. We have victory over the devil. We're going to crush his head because of the power of Jesus Christ. God spoke it, and I believe it. God spoke it, and you can believe it. The devil will bruise your heel, and he will cause you some turmoil. He'll cause you some torment. He'll cause you some pain. There's no question about that. But in the And Jesus Christ is victorious, and because if you know Jesus Christ, you also will be victorious, and you can step on scorpions, you can step on serpents, and you can be victorious because of the power of God in your life. Well, to the woman, verse 16, the Lord spoke this prophetic word. He said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children, and I'm sure many can attest to the fact that childbirth has some pain with it, childbirth has some torment with it, but the joy that comes when delivering a baby, then you forget that pain. And he says, your desire to the woman, your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Well, God made the husband the ruler over the woman. He calls for the woman to be in submission to the man. That is the order that God has established for the family. That is the order, the perfect order of God. It doesn't mean that woman is any less in substance, and it doesn't mean she is any less in her love for the Lord or the Lord's love for her. It just means that in lines of authority, the order which God has established, he has placed man over his wife. And so he said, your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And then the last word, prophetic word that the Lord speaks is for Adam. And in verse 17, then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and you have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And so there is the toil. He spoke that toil. Prior to this, there was no toil. The fruit of all the trees that were given to them were easy to pluck off. They were easy to eat. Everything that they needed. There was no sweat. There was no toil. They were naked in the garden. They were not ashamed of their nakedness. And so everything that they needed was in the garden. But after they fell, after they encountered the evil one, encountered that serpent, then all of these curses came upon them. And you know, if you're a farmer, if you're a teacher, if you're a ditch digger or whatever you are, there is toil, there is sweat, there is a struggle to maintain everything that you try to maintain in life, food for your family, food for your table, and clothing, and all of these things, all of this toil, and all of this strain then came into man's life. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. And so we get in a toil to provide for ourselves, to provide for our family. We get in toil to till the ground. It's work to till the ground. Sometimes you get injured, sometimes you get hurt, sometimes you get sick. All of these things came and are in our life because of the fall of Adam and Eve. And so it is not an easy life. I think everybody could say life is hard. I've been in Africa off and on now for 10 years, and beloved, you can't imagine how hard the life is over there. If you have a little piece of ground, you work that ground until you die, and you work that ground maybe even on the day that you die, and it's hard work, it's toil, and you're doing it for just a small amount of money. I would have to say the life here in America is easy compared to many places around the world, but yet we have a different kind of an anguish, we have a different kind of a toil and torment that comes with the easy life. We have a different kind of a torment that takes over us here in America, and it afflicts many people in different ways, and so that is what we have to deal with here in the USA. Well, beloved, we'll take up part two next week of spiritual warfare. We'll get into the armor of God, and we'll get into the devil as he was in heaven before he fell, and all those aspects of spiritual warfare. As I spoke at the beginning of this broadcast, if you're not in the battle, if you're not gathering for the kingdom, I invite you to get down on your knees, say yes to Jesus. He is the answer to the spiritual warfare in your life. He is the answer to the battle and the toil in your life. He is the answer to the torment, the anguish, the difficulty in your life. Yes, you're never going to escape this life until the day that you quit breathing, till the day that you leave. But you can know a bit of heaven. You can know the glory of God. You can know forgiveness and peace, all those things that Jesus brings into your life that the Holy Spirit then will give you as you walk with the Lord, as you walk with the counsel of the Holy Spirit. All those things shall be given unto you when you say yes to Jesus. So I encourage you to do that. Get down on your knees, say, yes, Jesus, I repent of my sins. Forgive me of my sins. I want to serve you. I want to gather with the kingdom. And as you do that, then the Lord will speak to you. You can trust the Lord that He is salvation, that through Him, through the blood that He shed, is salvation, and you can have that for your life. Well, let me know if you make any kind of a decision today, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we will rejoice with you. We will get you some information to get you started on your Christian walk. We invite you to partner with this ministry. Stay tuned for contact information. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have you support this ministry and help us to accomplish the things that God has for us in Africa, and also to keep this radio broadcast coming to you here in the USA. Thank you for listening today. Stay tuned for contact information. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.